truth. Amen. You can take your Bibles and go to the book of Philippians tonight. And they were singing that song. I was thinking we're going to be in the book of Philippians. So we'll go ahead and look at a verse. I don't know that I was going to look at it tonight, but we're going to be in Philippians anyway. So we'll look at it. You know it. You probably don't have to look at it. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so that song that was just sung is a truth of the Bible. God will supply all our needs, but there are some conditions. And we don't like to think about that sometimes. Everybody likes to make God just almost like a, you know, like God just gives to everybody anything they want, like we're just his spoiled children, and we are spoiled children. I got to say, God spoiled me. He's been good. God doesn't spoil anything, does he? God's just good to us, right? We use phrases like spoiled. I feel spoiled sometimes, as good as God is to me. But God supplies our needs when we get involved in what we're talking about tonight. If you read Philippians chapter 4 in the context, and I know many of you know it, Paul said, you met my need, God's going to meet yours. And so God meets needs. Pastor already mentioned it tonight, so I praise the Lord for it. Philippians chapter number 1 is where we're going to be, and I'm not going to be long tonight. I know that you don't believe that. Every time I say that, my children, Emery actually told me tonight, Emery and I were talking, and she said, how long are you going to be tonight? I said, I'm not going to be long. She said, you always say that. But I honestly, I don't believe I will be, because I don't want to repeat everything that's already been said. Honestly, a lot of what I'm going to say tonight has already been said, and so I'm not just going to keep hammering the same nail tonight. But I do want to share some things with you that I believe go along with what James shared tonight. I thought that was an excellent presentation. And I think this, to me, is so much easier. I don't know how some of you took it, because that may have been the first time you saw it. This is something we've been talking about as a pastoral staff and with Brother James for over a year, almost 2 years now. And then for the past, I know, a year, a year ago, Brother James presented it to our missions committee. And so there's a handful of people in this room that have known about what James is talking about for a long period of time. And so we've had longer to digest it and to think about it. And so I realized to some of you tonight, you were probably thinking, what is this? That ain't the way we do missions. And you know, if we're honest, and I think we're all this way in some aspect, we get a little nervous about change. And sometimes rightfully so. But not all change is bad. Actually, some change is good, especially if that change is biblical. And I believe what was presented tonight is biblical. And I'm going to try tonight to show you something that you probably already know. Some of you are probably sitting here thinking, Brother Dave, you don't got to convince me. It's obvious. Because it is. If you really think it through, what was shared tonight, it just makes sense. But I understand that sometimes when something is new, our first reaction is, hold on. What are you talking about? That's not the way we do missions. That's not the way independent Baptists have always done missions. But just because it's not the way we do it doesn't mean it's wrong. And so I want to present some things to you. I want to try to put some meat on the skeleton, so to speak, right? Or if I wouldn't be so graphic, maybe some skin on the skeleton, right? James gave you a skeleton tonight of what our missions program is wanting to look like going into the future. And as all of you know, and as Pastor's already said, this is going to take time, okay? This isn't going to happen overnight. We're not going to disrupt our missions program overnight. We've been talking about it for 2 years. We presented to the missions committee a year ago, and so this is a process, and this is just the next step in the process. But I believe it's a great idea. I think it's a great truth, and I think it's biblical. And I want to show you some things that from the Bible that I think will go right along with what was presented tonight by Brother James and even Pastor. And this is the title of my message tonight. I want to preach on this thought: more for missions. More for missions. Now, I believe that the majority of people in this auditorium tonight want to do more for missions. I think that our church has a great desire to do more for missions. And so I want to share with you some things that I believe will help us to do more for missions. And in doing more for missions, I believe we'll do more for missionaries. And in doing more for missionaries, I believe we'll do more for our missions program here at our church. And I just think that in the end, it'll just result in more. And that's what our goal is, more. More souls, more churches, more ministries. And at the end of the day, I want to tell you what it's really all about. It's about more glory to our God. Because that's what missions is really all about. Missions is about our God getting the glory that he deserves. And I want our God to get as much glory as he can get. He deserves it. And so I want to talk to you about more mission, more for missions tonight. Philippians chapter number 1, I want to read verses 1 through verse number 7 to you. The Bible says this, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Listen to this, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know what Paul said? Paul said, you've been involved in my work, in the ministry that God's given me. He's writing to a church in Philippi. You could say, Paul was, if it was in today, it would be like, let's just say, Keith Shoemaker, he's been mentioned. It would be Keith Shoemaker writing a letter to Fellowship Baptist Church. That's what Paul's doing. He's writing to a church in a place called Philippi, and he's reporting to them, and Paul is telling this church that you've been in fellowship with me in the gospel. And that word fellowship, if you look it up, I looked it up this afternoon. I already knew what it meant, but I just wanted to confirm it. If you look that word fellowship up in a Strong's Concordance, that word fellowship literally means partnership. It means you've been a partner, you've been a co-laborer, you've been in communication, you've been involved in what I'm doing from day one. And so this is what we just saw. I'm gonna put it in what we just saw language. You've been involved since I was a tier one missionary, and you're still involved now that I'm a tier five missionary. You've been with me from day one, even until now. You've been involved in the gospel, the work that I'm doing. And so he said, you've been in fellowship with me in the gospel. Look at verse number 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you, listen to this, in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And look at what he says here. He says, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know that word partaker there is an interesting word. If you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, the Greek word there, partakers, it is a connection of the word that the Greek word for fellowship in verse number 5, that word partakers in verse 7, its root is found in the same word, and it's just got something extra added to it, okay? And so it means also partnership. One of them has to do, I was trying to figure out the difference between them, and if I'm honest with you, I couldn't dig all the way down to the bare knuckles or the get to the center of what's the difference between those two words, but what I came up with was that one had to do with action and one had to do with experience, but they really mean pretty much the same thing. Paul said, you've been a partaker, you've been a partner. The word, if you look that word up, it also has in its definition in a Strong's Concordance partnership or co-labor. I wrote it down here, actually. It says partnership. It says a companion or, listen to this, it says a co-participant. Paul said you're a partaker. You're a co-participant in the gospel. We're working together in this. We're partnering. We're fellowshipping in the gospel. We're partaking in the gospel. We're in this together. And I understand that we all know this. We understand this. But I just think that what James was presenting tonight, or what the pastoral staff and our missions committee is presenting to our church, is let's get more partnered with our missionaries. Let's get more involved in our missionaries' lives. Let's co-labor it more with them. And that's what we're talking about, more for missions. And so I want to give you five mores that I think we could do for our missions that this program, this agenda will help us to do. Number one, it will allow us to have more investment. And that's already been said, so I'm not going to preach this entire point. But there's going to be more investment, right? We're going to give more to established missionaries, right? You know, that is a biblical truth. I got to thinking about it, and I was like, I want to do things that are biblical, and I know our pastor does, and I know Brother James does, but I began to study this, and I thought, is that a biblical truth? And it is. Look in Philippians chapter number 2. I just want to show you something real quick. Philippians chapter 2, verse 22. Look what Paul said about Timothy. He's writing to this church in Philippi. I don't have time to preach it, but he says in verse number 20, he says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 22. He says, but ye know the proof of him. You know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying Timothy's proved himself. Timothy has proved himself. Paul said, you know Timothy. He's proven himself. He's a five-tier missionary. He's a four-tier missionary. He's established. He's went. He's came home, and he's went back again. He's been through trials. He's been through sickness. He's been through a lot of things, but he hasn't stopped. He's proven that he's worthy of your support. And that's what we're saying. We're saying there are missionaries out there that have proven themselves. They've proven that they're worthy of our support. The Bible says, I thought this was interesting. I've never really preached this. I know Pastor has. But the Bible says this in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, in verse number 17, it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And I've heard a lot of preachers get up and preach, you know what, you ought to give your pastor double honor. He ought to, you know, it's about giving. And that is what it's talking about. But if you read it, it says, let the elders that rule well. That's what the Bible says. The elders that have proven themselves. Not the guy that just got in the ministry, just got out of Bible college, just took the church. I doubt you better be giving him double honor. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying he needs to prove some things. But a man that's been in ministry like our pastor that's been in ministry for 40 years, he's proven himself. The Bible says he's worthy of double honor. Can I tell you, Paul rose, and James won't say it because it's his father, but I'll say it because I've been there and seen it. This man has been in Peru for over 40 years. He's proven himself. He's got fruit that shows that what he's done. Keith Shoemaker has been in the country of Africa for over 20 years. He's got four children. Every one of them were born in a different country. Three of them born in Africa. One of them born in America. Keith's had malaria last time I talked to him over 50 times. He's proven himself. You understand? There's missionaries that have done the work. They put in the effort, and they've proven themselves, and they're worthy of double honor. They're worthy of our investment. They're worthy of us giving more. And so that's what we're talking about, more investment. Luke 16:10 says this, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. So you see, what we're saying tonight is biblical. The Bible said, he that's faithful in least, he's that faithful in the little things, he'll be faithful in much. And so if he proves that he can handle deputation, if he proves he can handle learning the language, if he proves he can handle learning the culture, if he proves that he can handle coming home and seeing his parents and then going back, he's probably going to do a little bit more. And he's worthy of more. And so we're talking about more investment. We do this in everything else. James mentioned it in the workplace. I've got guys that work for me. And you know what? The guys that have been with me the longest make the most. It's just the way it is. It's the way it should be. I worked at a place one time. I worked at UVA one time years ago. When I first got saved, I went to UVA as a painter. And you know one of the things that they did at UVA? Everybody made the same. I walked in the door at the University of Virginia as a painter with 5 years experience, about 25 years old, and I was making the same amount of money as men that had been there 20 years. And you know what it did? It did not help production. It didn't help production. Because why? Why am I going to, they're not going to help me anymore. I can be here for 20 years and prove myself, and it ain't going to still pay him the same amount of money. And if you ain't got character, you're just going to be like, well, I'm not going to try hard. But in the workplace, we give more to the people that have proven they can do more. in the military. James mentioned the military ranking officials and different things. I thought about this, the stock market. I'm not involved in the stock market, and I'm not promoting the stock market, or I'm not, condemning the stock market, okay? But I'm just telling you this. I know a little bit about stocks. I've read up on it a little bit. And for those of you that are invested in the stock market, I know this. I know that stock investors will put a lot of their money in the tried and proven stocks. They're going to put a lot of money in Apple. They're going to put a lot of money in Exxon or whatever, because they know people need gas. People's going to buy cell phones and iPads. And so they put a lot of their money in those big, big proven companies. You know what they'll do every now and then, though? They'll say, oh, you know what? That company right there might be a good investment. I'll put a little money over here. And that's what we're talking about. Investing in things that are proven, that are tried, that are worthy of our investment, giving more to those that are established. And so we're really talking about stewarding what God's given us. We always talk about being good stewards of God's money. I think that this is a great way to be a good steward of God's money. We're not saying let's not take on Luke Coffee. Let's take on Luke Coffee. But I tell you this, I think we should probably support Mark Coffee a little more. Mark Coffey's been on the mission field for over 20 years. He raised that boy on the mission field. That's fruit to his account. That boy that stood before us this morning and so well presented himself and presented the gospel and the burden he had for souls, he got that from a father that's been on the mission field his entire life. Are they worth the same? I mean, are you going to invest the same in those two men? I'd say it if Luke was sitting here. If I got to invest, hey, I'm investing more than your dad, buddy. I'll invest in you. I'll take a chance on you. I believe that boy's going to do great things. And I say, boy, he's a young man. I shouldn't call him a boy. But I think he's going to do great things. I think he's a good investment. I really do. I think he's a good investment. But I think his dad's a better one. I'm just being honest. One day that may change. But right now we know what we've got. And so I say more investment, number one. Number two, not only more investment, I think of more interest. More interest. And I don't mean interest as in the way we talk about interest at the bank, right? I'll talk about this, more interest. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 21. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's proven over and over and over again that the more invested we are, the more interested we are. The more invested we are in something, the more interested we are. You know who's real interested in the ministry at Fellowship Baptist Church? The people that are invested in it. You know who's real interested in the bus ministry at Fellowship Baptist Church? The people that are invested in it. And see, if we give more investment into some of these missionaries, I believe we'll in turn have more interest in these missionaries. I'll give you an example. I hope none of you throw anything at me when I say this. We did something with our teens, and if you're a parent of a teen, you probably already know this. But we did an NCAA bracket with our teenagers. We didn't make them put in $20, right? It wasn't a pool, is that what you call it? We wasn't gambling. But we told our teens, if you fill out a bracket, and I say, some of them say, I don't know nothing about college basketball. I said, you're probably going to win. You've got an advantage, okay? But anyway, and I think somebody that doesn't know anything is winning. Is that true or no? Oh, he thinks he's winning, huh? It's Tristan. Tristan's winning right now. How about that, Tristan? He definitely doesn't know anything about college basketball. No, I'm just playing. But he was filling one somebody else's out, and he was just writing stuff in. I was like, he'll probably win. They were hurrying, and they were just writing. They both, Tristan had one side, and the other guy had the other side. They were just writing stuff in there. I said, that'll probably be the winning one right there. But you know what? We didn't ask him for no money, but we said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to give a prize. We're going to give a prize to the winner of this bracket. You know what? I bet you, if you've got a teenager in here, I bet you they've been more interested in the March Madness this year than probably ever before. Why? Because they got investment in it. There's something in it for them. Unless they did like me and they picked UVA to win it all and they crumbled it up and threw it away last Sunday. I ain't got no investment. I was following it hard. I'm telling you, man, I was watching that thing. We were highlighting the first round. I was doing good. I got 26 games right in the first round, 32 games. I got 26 of them right. I was on a roll, and then Tennessee beat Virginia. Goodness. Anyway, I balled mine up. I ain't even looked at it since then. I mean, I had them winning the whole thing. I'm done, man. I'm telling you, I'm not going to win, all right? And so anyway, but when you're invested, you're interested. And that's what we're talking about. Let's invest in some ministries so we'll get interested in some ministries. I wish I could be interested in all 88 missionaries that we support, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I can't do it. And I doubt many of you can. But I believe if we'll get invested in a few real heavily, I believe we'll get real interested in a few. And so we see more investment is more interest is more involvement. I believe the more we invest, the more we will be interested, and the more we're interested, the more we will be involved. Keeping up with what's going on the field, keeping up with what's going on in their lives, you know, truly feeling like we're a part of it. If we, James said it, and I know he didn't mean that to belittle what we're given, but if we're given $125 and we know that's a tank of gas, we're probably like, man, I'm not really invested in this. But if we give $500, or we find out that there's a piece of land that somebody wants to buy, and we've done this numerous times, and we give $6,000 to buy a piece of land, all of a sudden we're interested. Why? Because we're invested. And we're involved. We're getting involved in what's going on, and I believe more involvement goes both ways. I believe the more we're invested and the more we're interested, the more we'll find ourselves involved, engaged, you know, partnering or co-partaking, keeping in contact. In Philippians chapter number 1, look at what Paul said again in verse number 3. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Paul said, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. He said, you're always in verse number 7. I have you in my heart. Why? Because you're invested in my ministry. And therefore, you're involved in my life, and I'm involved in your life. And I just believe that the more we get invested in a ministry, and the more we get interested in a ministry, the more we'll find ourselves involved in that ministry. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll give you an example, and I'm just giving personal examples. Maybe you're better than me or different than me, and you can do more than I can. I can only do so much stuff. But you want to know the missionaries that I'm most involved with, that I'm most interested in? The ones I'm most invested in. And you know how I can say that? Because I've been to New York City. And you know what? I talked to Brother Bradley today. I pray for Brother Bradley regularly. And I know some of you do that have been to New York City. You've seen the ministry. You've sat in his church. You know the street. You understand where he's at there in Queens. You understand what's going on. You're invested. So you're interested. And so you're involved, and I think after going to Peru, it's obvious that our pastor has an interest in what's going on in Peru. He loves those people. Why? Because he's invested in it. He's given time. He's given money. He's given effort. He's went across the world, and he's put something into that relationship, and because of that, now he's involved in it. He feels a part of it. There's a little bit of a connection there. And I know it. I was there. Those of you that went to Honduras, we don't even support the missionary. We went to Honduras with Dr. Waller, and I'm not saying this for any other reason to prove a point. It's not about me. It's about proving a point because I know there's other people in this room that have done the same thing. I went to Honduras in 2015, I think. Is that right? Miss Sharon's counting back. I think 2015. We went to Honduras. We were with Dr. Waller in Honduras, and we went to be with a missionary named Barry Ritchie. Our church does not support Barry Ritchie, but over the past 11 years, I have sent Barry Ritchie money. I can't tell you how many times when I've seen that he had needs. Why? Because I'm interested in his ministry because I've seen it. I've been involved in it. And so I have an interest in it, and I'm invested in it. And our church doesn't even is a part of his ministry. But what I'm trying to say is when you're involved in something, you take ownership of it. You're co-laborer, you're co-partaker, you're in fellowship with this ministry. And that's what I believe this offers us, is an opportunity to get more involved in ministries, to be more engaged, to keep more in contact. I think they'll keep more in contact with us. I can't speak for them, but I'm just going to say, if I was a missionary on a foreign field and all my churches supported me for 100, 125, some for 150, and I had this one church that supported me for 500, I can promise you when I come home on furlough, I'm going to see them. I'm going to go see that church. Why? Because they're invested in my ministry. They're interested in what's going on. They read my prayer letters. They send offerings when I want to buy a piece of property. They've sent people actually to the field and labored with me. They've sent their people to our work and been a part of what we're doing. I'm going to go visit them. I'm going to go update them. I'm going to let them know what's going on. I read something that just broke my heart, really, in some ways, but some ways I understand it. Brother Sinclair, that was with us back at our missions conference, wrote a book called Missionary Partnership. I read it years ago, and a lot of this in my heart was settled a long time ago when I read Missionary Partnership. And Brother Sinclair said that he had, I'm just going to throw a number, it's close to 100 supporting churches when he was in Cameroon, Africa. And he would send out his prayer letter, and he thought, man, I got all these people praying for me. And he said when he switched from one server to another, I think it was MailChimp, he says it in the book, he said that when he switched from one server to the other, it allowed him to see who opened his prayer letters. And he said over half the churches that supported him never opened his prayer letter. They're not partakers with him. Now, they might be giving and helping, but they're not they're not involved. They're not interested. And I think we've probably got some missionaries like that. I appreciate Brother David and James, and I know Miss Stanley when she was here. Miss Stanley read every letter this church got. She still got them, actually. I think she gave them all to James, stacks and stacks of them. Right? She said, wow. I mean, she had every prayer letter ever written to this church, and she had read them all, and she had them organized. And thank God for people like that. But I'm not one of them. I'm just being honest. But there are some ministries that I've invested in, that I've put money to, and that I've put my time into, and I've sacrificed to be a part of, and I'm interested in, and I'm involved in, and I read their prayer letters. I contact them. I text them, let them know I'm praying for them, and I think this is what will help us to be more involved. It'll help us to be more invested, more interested. Number four, I'm almost done. It'll help us to have more intercession. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 19. Paul said this. He said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, listen to it, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul said? I know you're praying for me. I know it. Paul said, I know the church at Philippi is praying for me. I know the church at Philippi loves me. I know the church at Philippi is interested in me. I know the church at Philippi is invested in me. I know the church at Philippi is involved in what I'm doing. They're partakers of the gospel. They're in the fellowship of the gospel. We're striving together for the gospel. And Paul said, for that reason, I'm confident that you're praying for me. I wonder how many of our missionaries are confident Fellowship Baptist Church is praying for them. They could say, I know Fellowship Baptist Church is praying for me. And see, I think that this model will help us as we implement it, as we give more to say. And that doesn't mean we stop. You, as Pastor said, please take what I'm saying. You got to figure out a way to try to pray for 88 missionaries. But the facts are, you can't. Not consistently, but you can for a few. You can get some type of system, and maybe some of you have a system. You do 10 a day or 15 a day, and that equals out to once a week. You're praying for every one of our missionaries. Some of you may do that. Great if you're able to do that, but I'm not. Well, I might be able, but I'm not doing it. Just being honest. But if we get more invested and we get more interested and we get more involved, I believe there'll be more intercession. I believe we'll pray for those missionaries. The missionaries I pray for the most are the ones that I'm most interested in. I'm just being honest. The ones that I'm most invested in. The ones that I've been most involved with. They're the ones that come to my mind when I go to pray. Now, I try to pray for the others. But there's a handful, they just come to my mind every time I go to pray for a missionary. That name pops in my head. Why? Because I'm interested. I'm invested. I'm involved in what they're doing. I'm trying to co-labor with them. And so there's more intercession. And then last, and I'm done, there's more impact. Look at Philippians chapter 4. I said we weren't going to read it, but we will. Philippians chapter 4, because this is the end of Paul's letter to this church in Macedonia, this church in Philippi. Look at what he says in verse number 15. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I first went out preaching the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from me, which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And he said this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And look at verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul said, that's what it's all about. It's all about God's glory. And Paul said, because you've communicated with me, because you've given to me, because you've partnered with me, he said, I have labored for fruit that will abound to your account. Paul said, we're making an impact for the glory of God. We're partnering together in the ministry, in the gospel, in the mission for the glory of God. And that's what this is about. How can we have the greatest impact through our missions program? I believe what was presented to us tonight will help for us to have more of an investment, more interest, more involvement, more intercession, and in the end, it will help us to have more impact. And that's what I really believe we want, more for missions. And that's what this church needs. We need more. We need to do more for missions. Let's pray. I'll have you stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.